Hallelujah. What a blessing. I bring you greetings from Ghana. We love you so much. Amen. And Pastor Kingsley, God bless you. Pastor Mildred is not around. There's a confession I need to make. I've been fighting within myself, but I think I have to say it. I watched you one time, and you were saying that you bought Pastor Mildred an iPhone, and then you placed it on her seat on a Sunday morning, and you said everybody should try. So I decided to try. I got the phone, and then I wanted to place it on the chair. It has been in the office for 2 weeks. Every time I'm entering the service, by the time I remember, service has closed. And so when we were about coming, I just turned to, I said, I bought you a phone. I can't hide it. I can't wait and be that romantic, but I will learn it by God's grace. I'll learn it by God's grace. Amen. So, the next one, I'll see what to do. We are learning gradually. Amen. God richly bless you for the honor. It's such a privilege and an honor to be here. Let's celebrate the man of God. If you don't know, he has a huge following in Ghana. And when you don't take care, we will carry him along. Amen. And I came here with my beautiful wife, Lady Mercy. God richly bless you. I have my pastors here and a wonderful Nigerian family I have. Now that I've adopted them, they are Ghanaians. Mr. and Mrs. Obona, God richly bless you. And Mr. Kingsley, God bless you. Amen. Can you lift up your hands? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus came out of 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And he entered the synagogue, and the Bible said he began to speak of himself. It took Jesus over 30 good years of his life to publicly announce who he is and what he has come to do. And the Bible said Jesus began to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal, and to break the prison gate. Then the verse 19 of Luke chapter 4, he said that to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. So if you asked Jesus, is it acceptable for me to marry? If you asked him 2020, he would have told you yes. If you asked him 2021, he would have told you yes. If you ask Jesus, is it acceptable before you that I be blessed in 2022? He will say yes. Why? Because he has declared every year acceptable, that you should be favored, you should be blessed, you should... Am I here with the church at all? So you ask yourself that, how come every year is declared for my blessing? However, years come and go, and I'm not seeing truly what I should be seeing. That means there is a missing factor. Jesus can call you blessed, but there are things that you must know. That is why such conferences are important. Gaining momentum. What must you increase in so that what is prepared for you begin to manifest? That is why you are here. You are going to lift up your hands. That, Lord, open my heart for tonight. There is something for me this year, and I must assess it. I must engage it. The Bible said, who is thirsty? He said, come to the waters and buy water without money. He said, buy and drink. He said, who is he that is spending money on things that does not satisfy? He said, but incline your ear. Come to the waters, but incline your ear. This is how we transact in the spirit. Incline your ear. Come and hear. If your heart can hear, if your heart can engage, something will happen. Lift up your voice and begin to pray, Lord, set my heart on fire. Open my heart for your word. Open my heart for your word. Open my heart for your word. Shabalamate lamatai. Zombra kande liminaitesh. Galai shameleko falema. Lembranko simbreniash. Open me up for your word. Change and transform my life. In the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we give you glory. Having made unto us the mystery of your will, that in the dispensation of time, all things shall be gathered in Christ Jesus. And thank you that this convocation is a glimpse of that mystery, that unto Shiloh all this gathering is. Now declare unto us that counsel that will be able to shift us from one level of glory to another. Thank you that at the end of 2022, by reason of this conference, every life here will be shifted. We give you all the glory, Father. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout your biggest amen. Please be seated in the heavenly places. There are things that God has preserved for our dominion on earth. Because of time, please, I'll be very fast so you flow with me. The Bible says that male and female created he them, blessed them, and said. So this was a blessing, that they should multiply, replenish, and have dominion. So the essence of their multiplication, the essence of their speed, was to negotiate dominion for them upon the earth. So they will have dominion in the birds of the air. They will have dominion in the cattle of the field. They will have dominion over the fishes in the water. That was the essence of increase. And if we are to understand the essence of this conference also, it is for us to increase in several aspects and facets of our lives that will give us the privilege to gain dominion over certain things of life. Some of us are looking out for dominion financially, looking out for dominion maritally, looking out for dominion in your spiritual walk with God. You are looking out for dominion in a realm. And then increase, as we know, is responsible for such dominion. But the question comes, what must I be increasing in or gaining momentum in order to have dominion financially in the air, in the land, and in the sea? And there are many things and many factors that are responsible for that. But I can only handle one, and I believe that the Lord is going to lead other speakers to help us in things to gain dominion in, momentum in, because the Bible says that Jesus told the apostles, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. These were men that had access to the gospel. They have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. They had what it takes to be preachers at once. That Jesus said, wait till something comes on you. You have to increase in something. You have to gain a momentum in something, and then you can handle this assignment. And I want us to understand tonight an aspect of our lives. Not until we have understood it and engaged it. You may celebrate and clap and shout and run about, but it is possible that you may not have a testimony of how God operates and how your blessings must manifest here on earth. Revelation chapter 5, we are coming to start our journey from there. Revelation chapter 5. We are going to study on the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit. It is everybody's dream to be blessed in one way or the other. But how do we access such blessings. He said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written therein, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I went much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read it. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. Somebody say seven horns. And seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Somebody say the seven spirits of God. Please pay attention here. John has been thrown to the island of Patmos. And in the day of the Lord, he receives a visit from Jesus himself. And then he undergoes a spiritual journey to understand what will happen from his time, even to time eternity. And then he captures a vision in heaven and sees a throne with a lamb as it is slain. And then surrounded around the throne are elders and then the four living creatures and all kinds of angels have surrounded the throne. And there is a book with seven seals. And John began to weep concerning this book, because there is no one in heaven, no one on earth, and no one under the earth to open the book. But John understood what was in the book. That is why the man started crying. He won't cry if he doesn't have any spiritual knowledge to what is in the book. So he knew the consequences if there is no one with authority to open the book. And then he began to weep, and suddenly an elder approaches him and tells him that don't weep, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open this book. You see what? You will not understand until you understand the law of redemption in Leviticus 25, verse 24. Now, Moses gives a law of redemption that says that if a man is poor and he sells his property, his land, if a brother of his or a kinsman of his should come later to find out that my brother has lost a property because he was poor and he didn't have money to buy it back, his brother can buy back his property. And then this is what you do when you buy your brother's property. You seal your brother's property with a title deed and you seal it seven times. So anytime a brother is poor, and then he sells his property, when I come back, if should in case I'm there, a brother to that one, I come back and I find out that, my brother wanted to pay his children's school fees, so he sold a plot of land, and then I have that money. Whoever bought that plot of land from my brother must, the law of redemption in heaven, that's the pattern. That brother must, whoever bought it, must bring back the land, because I'm a blood brother and I have money to buy it. But are you getting me at all? And he said, after your brother buys it, he should have a title deed on it and seal it seven times. That was the law of redemption. Many of us understand the redemptive work of Christ, but we don't understand it to the fullest. We think that he just redeemed our soul. That is why when he came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach to the poor. One of the characteristics of humanity was that out of spiritual poverty, we sold something that God delivered to us. That was the earth and everything in the earth, including ourselves. We sold it out, and we didn't have enough spiritual capacity to buy it back. So
So God was seated and was watching. How can I redeem these people and the earth I committed to them? Because the Bible said the heavens is the Lord and the earth has he given to the sons of men. He gave it to the sons of men and the sons of men delivered it to Satan. So how can the sons of men regain what they sold out back except another brother who is richer than them comes down and buys that property that they delivered? That is why the Bible said when Satan met Jesus in the wilderness of temptation, he said that I can give you the earth and the glories and the kingdom. Why? Because it has been delivered to me. Am I talking to a church here? So one thing that we did that cost us was that we sold something that the Lord will give us, and a brother must come. That is why when Jesus died, one of the highest assignments of the sacrifice of Jesus was not just to buy you, no, but to make family with you so that he can be a legal brother to buy back what you sold. Am I talking to a church here at all? So when he resurrected and Mary met him, he said, don't touch me. Go and tell my brothers that I go to my God and their God and my father and their father. We are one now, so that I'm calling many sons into glory so that out of my riches I can buy back what? Because they don't have what it takes. Listen, when Jesus came, he said something in Luke chapter 24 that all the Psalms and the prophets spoke of me. All the Psalms and the prophets spoke of me. So many of the things you read in the Old Testament was actually speaking of Jesus in a very concealed matter. So this thing I'm even telling you were demonstrated in scriptures that you may read it and pass by, but they are there. Even in the life of Boaz and Ruth, in Ruth chapter 4, the Bible said that the brothers of Elikim said, we can't buy this thing. We can't buy it. And then they contacted Boaz. And Boaz said, okay, I can buy. Ruth chapter 4 verse 7. And then the brother of, good. And now this is the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Verse 8. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. So when I have to redeem my brother's property and I don't have money, all that I need to do is to give you my shoe. So that the moment you wear my shoe, you can also buy your riches, buy my brother's property back. So Boaz was also connected to the family. You see why when Jesus met John the Baptist in the place of baptism, John the Baptist said that I am not worthy to wear his shoe. Because concerning redemption in Israel, if somebody, you want somebody to redeem you or whatever, you give the person your shoe to wear. So when John said, I am not worthy to bear his shoe, all he was saying that the kind of price this man is coming to pay, I can't pay it. His work, I can't handle it. He is a redeemer. He's coming to redeem what the whole world have lost in a time. I can't do that. And the Bible said Boaz bought everything and bought Ruth inclusive and then bind it as a title deed and kept it. Jeremiah was in prison. God told Jeremiah, go and buy a land and seal it. Seal the title deed and put it in a bond. These were all prophecies to tell us that a Messiah is coming. That when he comes, he's coming to redeem back everything that we lost. And then seal it 7 times and keep it for our sake. Am I talking to somebody here at all? Listen, I just want to tell you that Adam lost our glory, but Jesus took it back. Adam lost our blessing, but Jesus took it back. Look into the eyes of somebody. Tell the person, it's not all lost. It's not all lost. It's not all lost. We still have it back. Somebody say, we still have it back. We still have it back. That is what it means. Listen, if you look at these things, you must understand. So when John was crying that no one is worthy to open this book, he knew very well that this book is a composition and a legal binding for the whole world and everything in the world. So he knew that if there is no one to open it, that means the world is not in the hands of the one it should be in. That is why he started crying. We must understand this. You see, Psalm 22 speaks of the death of Jesus. The Bible says, Psalm 22 verse 1, my father, why have you forsaken me? Then it goes on to describe the death of Jesus, that his bones could be counted. He said, the seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted for him for a generation. It describes the whole death sacrifice of Jesus. Then Psalm 23 talks about how he's going to be like, even after he dies. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restored my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. That was how he died for 3 days, and God brought him back. And then by chapter 24, he begins to describe that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So he will die 3 days in hell. He will come back. And when he comes back, the title deed of the whole world will be with him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the world and the people in it shall all be his. Then his ascension, lift up your heads, O ye gate. So before he ascended, he has took over everything and has binded the title deed, and it was with him. So by Revelation chapter 5, John enters heaven and he sees the title deed and the book, and then he begins to cry. But whilst he was crying, the elder came and said that the whole thing is not lost, it's in the hands of someone. No wonder it was said of him that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Why? Because he will come and buy what his brothers lost and then keep it. And now look at this, my short message, then I leave here. Look at how it's going to work out. Now the elder comes to John and says, John, don't weep. Someone has prevailed. He owns the world, the earth, the people, and everything in it. It may look like the devil is running about, but the owner is seated in heaven. It may look like the devil is trying to gain momentum somewhere, but the one that carries the title deed is in heaven. Who he wants to give to is the one he will give to. Can I talk to somebody here today? Every space you need in this world, may the Lord deliver into your hands. Things are not in the hands of the enemy. It is in the hands of Jesus. He is the Lord. Then he sits on the throne. And then John stops crying. And suddenly, John begins to see something unusual. He sees one seated with seven horns and seven eyes. And by spiritual intelligence, he understands what these seven eyes and seven horns are. He said, these are the seven spirits that has been sent on earth. On whose behalf? On the one who holds the title deed of the earth. He has sent. And any owner knows how to manage his property. So how is he going to manage his property till he comes back? In the hands of a certain seven spirits. He said he has sent them. They are his eyes and they are his horns. They are horns, they are eyes, and they have been sent upon the earth to work with his people to make sure that his property is secured. I'm talking about the earth you fear that the world is taking over. I'm talking about the earth you fear that demons can stop you from possessing what you possess. I came to tell you that it's in the hands of Jesus. The government is in his hands. And he has sent a coordinating body on earth. Seven spirits. Whoever wants to do anything on this earth must consult these seven spirits. He has given them to the church. And it is by the coordination of these seven spirits and the church that Jesus' will can be established upon the earth that he bought with his blood. Please watch me. I may only touch three of these tonight in a very short way. Then we move out. It has always been my worry how many of us only assume, I wish that this, I'll be blessed. I assume that this year I'll be very great. 2021, I will be blessed. I will get that. And you ended. And probably you didn't see it. Do you understand the administrative system of the one that owns the earth? Do you understand? He sent one spirit. In essence and in existence, the Holy Spirit is one. But in oppression and in administration, the Bible said there are seven spirits that walks on the earth. And when you read Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible speaks of the root of Jesse. And then he begins to name these seven spirits. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of mind, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Then he goes ahead to give us, I can't finish reading that one. I can only tell you, he goes ahead to give us how the world will be beautiful when these spirits begins to work. Isaiah only saw a vision. Then he said that when these spirits are working together, then very soon the lion and the sheep will dwell together. He said children will begin to play with snakes and everything will be fine. He said that is the vision of Jesus, that the time is coming that the whole world will be a serene world like it used to be before men disobeyed. He said, but how is he going to achieve this? By the ministry of these seven spirits. The first is the spirit of the Lord that he gives to man. The second is the spirit of understanding. The third, the spirit of wisdom, of knowledge, of counsel, of the fear of the Lord. Number one, what is the role of the spirit of God? He said that when this spirit comes upon you, he's coming to do one assignment. He's coming to establish the lordship of Jesus in every heart. That is the first work of the first spirit. The lordship of Jesus. The lordship of Jesus. He said that no one speaking by the Spirit will cause Jesus accursed. And no one will call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit. The assignment of the Spirit of God, or the one we call the Holy Spirit, is to make sure that he glorifies Jesus in every heart. He is one, but he functions in seven different ways. And when you look at the menorah in the temple that represents the lamp and the seven spirits, you realize that the middle one that is the main stem is still a branch that holds the other six. So though he's the one that carries the other six, but he's also a branch of himself. And his assignment is defined in scriptures that he makes sure that everybody that he visits and manifests will see Jesus as Lord. John chapter 16, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, he said he will reprove men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He said of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go away, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That is the assignment of the Holy Spirit, to make sure that you are born again. The fact that you are seated here and you call Jesus Lord is a sign that the Holy Spirit has come and work on you. That is a sign that the Holy Spirit has come. And anytime the Holy Spirit visits a people, the next thing is that Jesus and the lordship of Jesus is exalted in the midst of the people. We are running fast into a godless system that is being secretly built. That even in church, they are finding a way and mean where they can run church by excluding Jesus. It is happening. They are paying gospel musicians to make sure that they don't mention Jesus in their songs. The Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. It is happening. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to make sure that anyone he finished working on, the person will see Jesus as his Lord. One time, Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. He said that that same Jesus whom you crucified, the Lord has made him both Christ and Lord. Both Christ and Lord. Christos and Kyrios. You must understand these two dimensions of Jesus. He saved you, and that is a momentum manifestation. It's just a one-time thing. He saved you. And then after salvation, he must be Lord over your life. The word Lord in the Greek means Kyrios. That means owner, master. He must be Lord over your life. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. To make sure that every heart is subject to Jesus. I am preaching this in church, and I preach it everywhere, because a generation is fast arising that knows how to confess Jesus without submitting to him. The problem of the church in the book of Acts was that they found it difficult to receive Jesus as the Christ. But those that received him, they didn't find it difficult to receive him as the Lord. So, there was a mighty work. Many were persecuted. Many were killed for the fact that they preached that Jesus is the coming Messiah. And people didn't have a problem. Those who received Jesus as their savior didn't have a problem doing exactly what Jesus wants. But we have come to another generation. We don't have a problem receiving him as the Christ, but we have a problem receiving him as a Lord. So if only confession you want me to make, I'll just make it. But as to him controlling my daily life, I cannot allow. That is the battle of our generation. And that is when the Spirit of the Lord comes in. His assignment is to work on our heart so that at the end of the day, Jesus must be the Lord in the heart of everyone. I pray in the name of Jesus that this year may Jesus be your Lord. Let me tell you something. Do you know why these seven spirits were called the eyes and the horns? They are a light to lighten a testimony about Jesus. And then whoever receives that light is given an authority to rule. It doesn't matter how you shout it. If Jesus doesn't have a certain level of dominion over your life, there is no way you will also have dominion over the earth. There is a place of the lordship of Jesus over your life. And the measure of his lordship will determine the measure of your authority on earth. That is why one demon could say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, you, who are you? But the people were mentioning the same name Paul was mentioned. But what they didn't know was that Paul has submitted in a way they have not submitted. I pray for you that in this year may you submit to the lordship of Jesus. I said by the ministry of the Spirit of God, may you submit to the lordship of Jesus. And there is another spirit called the spirit of wisdom. His assignment is simple. It's not just to submit to Jesus, but to conform into his image. One day Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 downwards, and he described who a wise man is. And he said, a wise man went to build his house on a rock. And then the wind came, the rain came, and the flood came. And he said he beat it, but he could not break it down. And he described a certain foolish man. He said he built it on a sand. And the wind, the flood, and the rain came. And he said he smashed him down. The people didn't get it. Until Matthew chapter 16, he turned one time and asked them, who do people say I am? And they said, you are Elijah, you are Jeremiah, you are one of the prophets. And he said, what do you say that I am? And Peter said that thou art the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. So what was he talking about? About the wise man that built his house on the rock. He was talking about a people that will come, that will make Jesus their foundation and their house in life. He said, they are the only ones that will survive the test of time on earth. And he said, these ones shall be called the wise. I'm talking about the wisdom of God. One time in Job chapter 28, Job was trying to describe where is wisdom. He said that there is a road that no lion has passed, and there is a path that no vulture has passed. He said, we have been looking for wisdom. We have gone to the depths. The depths said, I don't have him. He said, we have gone to the sea. The sea said, I don't have him. He said, even the mountains have been uprooted to the root. He said, they can't find wisdom. He said, wisdom, money can't buy. Rubies can't buy. Gold cannot buy. He said, then where is wisdom? Then Job answered himself. He said, for God knows where wisdom is. And he said, God knows the place of understanding. There is a place of understanding. There is a place of wisdom. The Bible said, no one knew except God. Meanwhile, God, one time, Solomon asked God for wisdom. And then God gave Solomon wisdom. And Solomon was practicing this wisdom until the wisdom landed him in a way, giving him fame, giving him money, and then he started giving him women. And then 50, 100, 200, 300, 400. The man, as wise as he should have paused and asked God that, is this your kind of wisdom? When wisdom can give you over 1,000 women and land you in a shrine, you should question it and go back to God and ask God, what is your true wisdom? What is your true wisdom? Until a certain apostle Paul came, and the Bible said, he told them, we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Even the hidden wisdom that if the princes of this world knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That means God's true wisdom is not the one he gave to Solomon. Am I talking to somebody here at all? God's true wisdom is not the one that he distributed to men. He has hidden this wisdom for many years from the foundation of the world. He kept it and presented this wisdom as a human and placed him on earth. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says the Greeks seek wisdom. The Jews seek power, signs and wonders. But we preach Jesus, the wisdom of God and the power of God. They are looking for wisdom. But he said they didn't know that wisdom was a person that walked upon the surface of the earth. You are foolish if you reject him. You are wise if you accept him. Wisdom is a man having the desire and the hunger to be like Jesus. That's wisdom. The Bible says that all things, for we know that all things work together for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Then he continued to say in the verse 29, that for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. For whom he foreknew, he predestined. That means that you were predestined before you came. And that destiny is not to be a doctor. Can you read it there? That destiny is not to be a carpenter. That destiny is not even to be a pastor. He said that destiny is to be conformed to the image of his son. So then who are you as a doctor? You must be Jesus practicing medicine. You must be Jesus pastoring people. That is the agenda. That is the divine plan of God for everyone. That is the spirit of wisdom. That anyone that comes upon the earth must find wisdom. And what will that wisdom do to you? That you long and seek that you become like Jesus. He said, for now are we the sons of God. For we do not know how it will be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. That is wisdom. Wisdom is a person. His name is Jesus. One time I was asking the Lord, so what kind of wisdom did you give to Solomon? He said, Solomon didn't ask for the wisdom of God. He asked for wisdom. And when you look at James chapter 3, we have earthly wisdom. We have sensual wisdom. We have devilish wisdom. He said, I only gave him the wisdom of the world. He said, but my wisdom was hidden from eternity to give to a people called my church. That when the spirit of wisdom invade a person's life, all that he longs for and all that he seeks is to live for Jesus and to be like him. And that is why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, to some he gave pastors, to some he gave apostles, to some he gave prophets, to some he gave evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, that we all come to the unity of the faith, even unto the knowledge of the Son of God, even to a perfect man, that we will reach to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Do you know why you have a pastor? He said that at the end you might be in the fullness of Jesus. Your accounts may be full, but if your spirit is not in the fullness of Jesus, you are failed. You are failed. You are failed. It is when most of us enter heaven that the spirit of wisdom will approach us. And at the sight of the spirit of wisdom, we will begin to see why our earnest desire all our life should have been that we will be conformed to the image of Christ. And we, most of us will start sharing tears in heaven. I wish that I did that which will conform me to the image of Christ. But I couldn't. That's the work of the spirit of wisdom. When he visits you, he handles over a horn to you. And that horn is when a man is in the full stature of Jesus walking about. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? One is like Jesus. When you look at the two words, Paul, I know. The know there means epistamia in the Greek. That means this one has filled my mind. To fill somebody's mind. To have somebody's attention. That's the know there. And Jesus, I know, is to allow, permit. Ginosko, allow, permit. Two different words. So what the demon was saying is that for Jesus, he's allowed to do anything he has to us. For Paul too, he's always in our minds. This is the stature a man received with God. I pray for somebody here. The spirit of wisdom is visiting us this year. Our longing and our desire will be to be like Jesus. Am I talking to a church here at all? I know you want to progress in life. I know that you want many things in life. I know that you want to marry. I know. But one thing you should know is to know the essence for getting married. The essence of getting married is to have a partner who will help you develop into Christ Jesus. Am I talking to a church here at all? The essence of getting a job is to have an exposure with people so that you can also teach them into growing into the image of Christ. That is all we live for. That's all we live for. And that is what the spirit of wisdom does to us. To God, you are not wise until your vision is to be like Jesus. Until your whole dream, your whole heart is to be like him. I long to be like him. I long. That is why when Job was describing, he said, this wisdom is more than rubies. He said, only God has this wisdom. And when this wisdom invades us, we lose sight of ourselves. We lose sight of this world. We lose sight of materialism. We lose sight of everything. And there is only one goal that is set, that one day we shall reach to the perfect measure of Jesus. Thank God for your life, but your honor in the spirit realm is in how much of Christ's measure you find yourself. When we are to assess in the spirit realm right now, where have you grown to? He said to some, he gave pastors. And the agenda is that all of us come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. That by that knowledge, we grow into the fullness of his measure. Where are you now? Ezekiel said that the waters were at my ankle. It moved to my knee. Then it began to overflow. This year, can I help you with a resolution? The assignment is simple. That I may grow into the fullness of Christ. Do you know God didn't call the disciples Christians? It was the people of Antioch. They looked at them. They looked at them. They said, there is no difference. There's no difference. When you lack the spirit of wisdom, even those staying in your house will begin to ask you, are you a Christian? But when the spirit of wisdom invades you, you don't need to introduce yourself. Anyone that sees you know this one is coming from the presence of Jesus. This one is coming. Oh, may the Lord help us. May this spirit invade our hearts. That's the spirit of wisdom. You talk him. After all the epistles Apostle Paul wrote, he finished by Philippians 3 and says that I may know him. I want to know him. That's the workings of the spirit of wisdom. You never get satisfied. You keep looking. For we are with open faces, beholding us in the glass, the glory of the Lord. We are changed. That's the agenda. We rise up every morning beholding, so that by the time the day comes to an end, we are changed into his very image. Am I talking to a church here at all? Apostle Paul says that I may know him. And at the end of the day, I want to conform to the suffering of his death. The more you look up to him, the more you want to be like him. You look like him in person. You want to be like him in nature. You want to be like him in character. You want to be like him in suffering. That's the highest realm. As you behold, and as you behold, and as you behold, you just don't want to be like Jesus in the realm that he walked on water. You want to be like Jesus in the realm that he died for the world. That is the spirit that the Matthias operated by. When men like Polycarp will be brought to the place of death, and they will ask him, renounce Jesus or we kill you. But the spirit of wisdom will not allow. Polycarp said, O king, I look forward for this dialogue. He said, I've been serving this Jesus for 36 years. He has done me no harm. He said, why should I betray him? That's the voice of the spirit of wisdom. It is a voice that energizes. Psalm 17 verse 15, he said, as for me, I will look. He said, I will look. I will behold. I will behold thy face in righteousness. And I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I will keep on beholding. And I will not be satisfied when I wake up with a car. I will be satisfied when I wake up and I look like you. I'll be satisfied. Oh, I'll keep beholding until I wake up one day and everything about me is shifted. My heart is shifted. That a young boy like Stephen will stand in the face of death and mothers, fathers are crying out, Stephen, denounce Jesus and save your life. The man wouldn't. Until at the point of death, he opened up his eyes. Throughout scriptures, the Bible said, it was said of the high priest that anytime they made sacrifices, they did not sit down. They went to stand. Why? Because every year they have to make sacrifices for the sins of the people. But Jesus is the high priest. The Bible says he made a one-time sacrifice. So there was a prophecy about him that he will be asked to sit at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because he's the only high priest that must sit, because his sacrifice is one. But a Matthias rose up by the spirit of wisdom. Whilst he was being stoned, he stretched forth his eyes and he saw that the high priest that must be seated has stood for his sake. Can I talk to somebody here? By the spirit of wisdom, may heaven see your effort sacrifices in this very year in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about somebody who will no more complain about soul winning. I'm talking about somebody who will no more complain about prayer. Why? Because I want to be like Jesus. I'm talking about someone who will not be lazy about a personal Bible devotion, because I want to be like Jesus. I'm not talking about someone who comes to church 2 weeks, 3 weeks after 3 weeks. I'm talking about someone who even be in church when there is no service, because I want to be like that. Does not come is the working of the spirit of wisdom. To God, you are not wise until you have a dream to be like Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus, the wisdom of God and the power of God. He said the Greeks are looking for wisdom. Even the Jews are looking for signs and wonders, but they don't know that Jesus has been made unto us power and wisdom. I pray for us. Oh, when a generation will rise by the spirit of wisdom, that nothing will stop us. This time we have a church that even one information on radio can let you still think about your salvation. A little article can let you think about whether you should pay tithe or not. Someone sitting somewhere can even change your mind. But we are talking about the spirit of wisdom. Even if you put a gun on me, I'm not changing my mind. Am I talking to a church here at all? I'm not changing my mind. What God wants is what will be done. I pray for somebody to receive the spirit of wisdom. The Bible said these spirits are working. Everyone has his assignment. When the spirit of wisdom invades a person, I can converse with you for 5 minutes and I will know if you have the spirit of wisdom. I will know if that spirit is at work in you. Yeah, I can tell. It is a spirit that exalts Jesus and diminishes everything. So everyone that is walking by the spirit of wisdom, when you meet them, you may think logically that they don't have a dream in life, but you don't know that they carry the ultimate dream. Because when Jesus comes, the Bible says that he carries the fullness of the Godhead and all things are complete inside of him. You have Jesus and you have all things. The Bible says, who the God who did not spare his son, but gave him freely to us, will he not give you all things by that same son? Matthew 11, he said that, Father, I thank you that you have revealed these things to the babies. For you have all things have been delivered to the Son by the Father. He said, everything is delivered to Jesus. Everything. But sometimes when you are looking at Jesus, you don't see anything. You don't. You just see a man. That is where sometimes the devil gets most of us. When the devil is coming, he brings things. He shows you things. So he took Jesus to a high pinnacle. And he showed him the kingdoms of this world. And then he said, bow. That's the strategy of Satan. He brings you things. But the Father brings you a man. Listen, when the devil brings you this thing, he's showing you the kingdoms of this world. But the truth is that after you receive it, there's a personality you must bow to behind the things. But God also comes and he shows you a person. Then behind the person are the things. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. I pray for somebody here. Receive the baptism of the spirit of wisdom. I said, receive the baptism of the spirit of wisdom. We will not bow. We will not bow to the deception of the world. We will not bow to the seduction of hell. We will not bow to the distraction of hell. We will not bow to the temptations of hell. We will stand tall in our pursuit of Jesus. Though it may look like nothing is coming, but the more we grab Jesus, the more other things keep coming. Am I talking to a church here at all? I came to announce to you in the year 2022, as you pursue Jesus, expect other things flowing. I said, as you pursue Jesus, expect other things. You are never at a loss if Jesus is all you have. You are never at a loss. Sometimes when the spirit of wisdom is in operation, people call you fool. Until you get to a point that heaven declares that all things be given to you. That is when they realize that, oh, so all this while, this guy was a wise man. It shall be said of you by the end of 2022 that this one is a wise person. I said, it shall be said of you that this one is a wise person. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That is what we are dealing with. These are spirits. These are spirits that are walking about. I think I have about 10 minutes. These are spirits that are walking about. And many of us, it's possible that you can serve God all your life and yet not encounter one of these spirits. Yes, it's possible. There's another spirit called the spirit of knowledge. When it comes upon you, that is not book understanding. That's all book knowledge. It's a deep-seated intuition of the wisdom of God and the understanding of God that he places inside the man. Then you begin to know things teachers didn't teach you. The Bible calls him the spirit of knowledge. So God will go and create things and bring it to Adam. And Adam will name it. And the Bible said it was what God wanted to name. That is the spirit of knowledge. One time Moses pleaded with God that, God, I want to see your face. He said, when you see my face, you will die. Everybody that sees me must die first. Because when you see me, you must end up becoming like me. You can't have a dual identity. So one must die for other to live. So the moment you have to come to me, you must die. That's why when Adam sinned and the two trees, the tree of life, when you eat it, it must be like Jesus. Then you must pass through death. So what happened was a flaming sword was around the tree of life. Adam, you can go and take it. But before you can go, you must pass through the knife and the fire, the altar. You must pass through. If you can die, then you can touch life. And no human being could pass through the flaming fire sword until Jesus came and pass through the altar for us. Somebody celebrate Jesus for us. You see? And he said, if you see my face, you will die. So Moses said, sir, I don't want to die. Then he said, but I have another option. You will see my back. And then God passed. And Moses saw the back pass of God. Moses left there and started writing Genesis. He was not there, but he saw the conversation between Eve and the serpent. The man started writing age, how the people were, Meanwhile, he was not there. Why? Because he saw back, so he has to see history. So he started writing things. To a point that even in Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy, he wrote it. He wrote his own death, how he would die, that my eyes will not be dim. Then on the island of Patmos, John also saw his face and started writing what is in the mind of God, the new Jerusalem. It has not come. But the man also started writing how the new Jerusalem will be like. Future. One saw face, he wrote future. One saw back, he wrote history. May you see something about God. I said, may you see something about God. May you see something about God in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is an unusual anointing that will fall on us. Listen, these spirits are engaged. If you don't know them, you may never engage them to its maximum operation. But as I'm teaching you now, you are engaging them already. Listen, that spirit of knowledge gives you a level of insight that gives you advantage on earth. That is why someone can go to sleep and come back with something. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4 is one of the most dangerous scriptures I ever saw. I said, hey, is that how these things work? He said that for the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. And he said that I may speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened morning by morning. He wakened my ear to hear as the what? Jesus. He's prophesying about Jesus. He's prophesying. He said he makes me hear. Go to the verse 5. The Lord has opened my ear and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. He said that when morning by morning, he wakens my ear to hear. He said because of that, he has given me the tongue of a learner to know what to say. So sometimes Jesus will speak and the people will be amazed. With what knowledge and spirit is this man speaking? Then it was a prophecy about him that morning after morning, his ears are open. No wonder the Bible will say that a great while before day, Jesus will rise and go and pray. Then in, oh glory to Jesus, John 5:19, he said, the Father loves me, for he shows me whatever he doeth. So ask Jesus, at what time was the Father showing? Wait, this is Jesus. He is speaking as in the natural. Then answered Jesus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he saith the Father do. For what thing soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. So at what point is the Father doing it? Morning by morning, he openeth my ear. Life is difficult if you don't have a spiritual teacher. There is a spirit of knowledge that sits back and show people what is ahead of them in the day. Morning by morning, he opened my ear and he shows me things. And Jesus comes and says, my Father loves me. He shows me everything he is doing and I do also. So everything Jesus came to do in his ministry for the 33 years, he was repeating what has happened. So before he steps out to heal the sick, it has happened in the night. The reason why you are in embarrassment because you are doing what is not done. Without the spirit of knowledge, you will also say, hey, others are doing, I also want to try. I will do some. In this life, we don't do some more. You do what is being done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One time he called forth Moses. He said, come and I will show you the patterns in heaven and repeat it here on earth. Everything that is attempted in earth that is not in heaven will not stand. And it is by the spirit of knowledge that you find out what is being done in heaven. In the year 2022, you will not miss what is being done in heaven over your life. I said, you will not miss it. I said, we will not miss it. I said, we will not miss it. Somebody shout, by the spirit of knowledge, I will not miss what is being done about my life in heaven. Give the Lord a shout of praise. We won't miss. We won't miss. Listen, if you have to do your doctorate this year, you won't miss it. If you have to do your master's, you won't miss it. If you have to start a business this year, you won't miss it. If you have to build this year, you won't miss it. I said, if you have to be ordained this year, you won't miss it. Everything God is doing in heaven by the ministry of the Spirit of knowledge, you are receiving it now in the name of Jesus. Listen, I can shock you right now that most of the things that the world is doing that we are paying for is the ministry of the Spirit of knowledge. They submitted to him in a way that we did not. Our minds are concealed against the Spirit of knowledge. And sometimes he wants to teach us something. He wants to show us something. But we are so concealed. This is who I want to be. This is what I want to do. This is all I see. That is why sometimes we remain the way we are. But the Spirit of knowledge wants a company to be started. And it's an idea nobody has. And he will begin to minister to somebody after tonight. The Spirit of knowledge functions by dreams. He functions by visions. He functions by revelation. And said you will hear a voice behind you, whether to turn to the left or to the right. I subscribe you to the ministry of the Spirit of knowledge. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Anything that must happen on earth that is not happening, but is in the will of the Lord, may the Spirit of knowledge ordain you for that particular thing. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. There is a deep spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of knowledge, your own death sentence will be written, but you will not know. Menel menel tekel ufasi. Your death sentence is written. It took a man like Daniel by the Spirit of knowledge to understand. From today, you will not miss the handwritings of God. You will not miss the handwritings of evil spirits. You will understand every move of God around your life. I prophesy to about three people. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of knowledge. These spirits are engaged. You can do many things or try many things you want to succeed. But these are the eyes and the horns. These are the ones that carries the authority. What they show you is what heaven will back you on. They are the eyes and they are the horns. It's unfortunate I can't touch the rest here. But they are the eyes and they are the horns. They are the ones that deliver power. You don't have power until you receive knowledge. And that knowledge is not just a book knowledge. It's a knowledge that comes from heaven concerning God's intentions about your life. That it drops in your heart to a point that he said that even eternity can be set in your heart. That you know up to eternity what is there for the world. It is by the ministry of the Spirit of knowledge. We are going to engage the Spirit of knowledge. Engage the Spirit of wisdom. Some of you have longed for things that are not in alignment with God. As the Spirit of wisdom invades your heart, you will begin to live your life for the sake of Jesus. He said that he that died for all must also live for him. That is by the ministry of the Spirit of wisdom. You are going to lift up your voice and begin to engage these three spirits. That Lord, invade my heart with these spirits. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Skabarahataya. Can you go deeper? Can you go deeper? Skebarata sentereme. By the Spirit of knowledge, you will hear something. You will see something. The Spirit of knowledge will unveil every veiled secret. The Spirit of wisdom will baptize your hearts for the love of God. Zegalambelikai. Skapalambaliketela. Kapale melekata. Skapala metela. In the name of Jesus, listen. In the next 2 minutes, you are going to pray again. Please listen to me. In our generation, we desperately need the ministry of the Spirit of God, even in the church. That is the warfare. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through Christ in the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the workings of the Spirit of God. It's possible to be in church, but your thought has not been submitted to the Lordship of Christ. Please pray this prayer for me, that Lord, submit me under your lordship. Submit me. I want to be under your control. I want to be under your leadership. I want you to genuinely be my Lord. Then you are going to pray for the spirit of wisdom. I long to be like Jesus. I want to grow into the image of Christ. Then you pray for the spirit of knowledge one more time. The Lord, open me up. Like Jabal, open me up. That I may be the beginner of something that has never shown up on earth. Somebody lift up your voice and begin to pray. Invite the three spirits right now. Kelabratata. Shabalabalebos. Skabrandabeles Kalas. Cry out. The spirit of wisdom. I want to be like you, setting your love upon him, setting your love upon him. ...2022... this is how to go. Cry out for the ministry of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge. What do I have to know that I don't know? What do I have to see that I can't see? What must I perceive that I have not perceived? Open down my eyes. Open my ears. There is a transformation going on. Some of us are turning away from self into growing into the fullness of Jesus. People of God, that is a vision. That is a vision. You are not successful until we can see the image of Christ upon your life,
and upon everything that you represent. Where is Jesus in your life? How far have you grown into Him? Engage the spirit of wisdom. Engage the spirit of wisdom. It is by this spirit Jesus will control the whole earth and bring it into order. What the world is looking for is people that look like Jesus. The reason why the world is the way it is because we can't find many people in the fullness of the image of Christ. Why won't you be one of them this year? Why won't you be one of them this year? Thank you, Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Now lift up your holy hands. The need of this world is people that must come in the name of the Lord. The greatest need of this world is people that look like the one that was tempted at all points yet did not sin. That is the greatest need of the world. Our political sector needs people like that. Our educational sector needs people like that. Our children need fathers like that. Our children need mothers like that. That will come in the image of Christ. They need it. And tonight I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice. If there is anything to gain momentum in, may a new engagement with the Holy Ghost, a new engagement with the spirit of wisdom, a new engagement with the spirit of knowledge begin with you right now. Begin with you right now. Begin with you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for everyone here. If you miss this spirit, you will miss the eyes and the horns. But after tonight, all the seven horns are delivered into your hands. I said, all the seven horns are delivered into your hands. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I declare you blessed. You have entered a new year. Nothing will be a surprise to you because of the spirit of knowledge. He will open your ears morning by morning. Your vision will change because of the spirit of wisdom. You begin to be like Jesus. You dream for Jesus. You desire for Jesus. You long to be like Jesus. And by the ministry of the Spirit of the Lord, the Lordship of Jesus will be established upon you. You are blessed and highly favored. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, sir.
Excited. We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412, or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.